Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker, and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
Final hour on a Monday. Ben and Woods, Jim Rome Show coming up at 9 o'clock. Coach John Quintero. Surprise, surprise. Gwynn and Chris, short show today, leading into Monday Night Football.
Must.
The New England Patriots trying to stay undefeated as they visit Sam Darnold.
Just once, can we get like a 7 a.m. Monday morning football?
Monday morning football. I like that. MMF. A little MM Monday morning football. Woodsy, welcome back.
Thank you.
We were just talking about how Gwynn and Chris have a short show today because of Monday Night Football.
Oh, weird.
Really?
I'm petitioning for Monday morning football. 7 a.m.
We got preempted like twice by like 30 minutes this year.
And it was amazing.
It was like my birth. I was like, what am I going to do with all this free time? This is incredible.
By the time you get out to your car, it's just past 9
just past
o'clock.
9, yep. Yeah. Still, it was wonderful.
All right, we will come to an end. Week 7 of the NFL season tonight. Jets and Patriots, you'll hear it here on 97.3 The Fan. Yesterday, Sunday Night Football was one that everyone had their eyes on. Kind of expecting a better game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Both teams came in with 3-3 records. In the NFC East, the Cowboys, though, were scuffling, having dropped 3 in a row after a 3-0 start. And if you'll remember last week, Woodsy, Eagles coach Doug Peterson came in strong, doing his regular, I believe, weekly interview with the intercom station in Philadelphia.
We're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be.
So in reality, you did go down to Dallas. You were right about that. But your guys were not ready to play.
No.
You did not win the football game.
Correct.
You are not in first place in the NFC East. You do not control your own destiny.
Correct.
Going forward. None of those things were correct other than the trip down to Dallas, which you did. You managed to pull off. You got the plane down there. You got to the field in time. That was about it. Doug Peterson's taking some heat for an erroneous prediction. But I listened to this again. I mean, I don't consider this to be some braggadocious coach who is drawing a line in the sand and making a quote-unquote guarantee.
We're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be.
That's talking out your goals.
Yeah, bulletin board material.
I don't know. That's just talking out your goals. That's what we would like to see happen. Obviously, every coach wants their team to go in and win a game. You're not going to hear it. He's definitely not going to say, we're going to go down to Dallas, or if we make it, and then we're going to lose the game, and then we're not going to be in first place. You're never going to say that. So the only alternative is being confident and thinking you're going to win. I don't have a problem with that. People are giving Doug Peterson a hard time and ripping him today. Scott Van Pelt did a nice piece before the fact last week saying, we as the media get so tired of the nothing statements, the cliches, the non-answers, the Bill Belichick mumbles, the we're on to Dallas, we're not going to say anything. But then when someone actually tries to be kind of interesting and, you know, put a little life into their interview and, hey, let's act confident. Let's see what this is what we'd like to see happen. Let's go out and, you know, put ourselves on the line a little bit. And then we take the sledgehammer when the team doesn't perform well. Just bash him over the head for it. Yeah. Well, what are we going to get now from Doug Peterson next week? Other than, you know what? We're on to our next game. We're gonna work hard in practice.
You think he feels like maybe he got stung by being so.
I would assume so.
So forthcoming. Yeah,
we're going down to Dallas, and our guys are gonna be ready to play, and we're gonna win that football
just
game.
End it
when
there.
We do, we're in first place. In-
yeah, just end it there. Like right, hey, we're gonna go down to Dallas, and our guys can be ready to play. That's it.
We're gonna win that football game.
They weren't ready to play. We're gonna go down to Dallas.
Five turnovers last night. That's not. That's not a prescription for great football, Ben, or a winning recipe, if you will. Cowboys look really good. I was watching the broadcast. They're like, Doug Peterson decided he's tired of his team getting off to such a slow start, so he decided to take the ball. Well, what happens as soon as they take the ball? What, two plays later, Dallas recovers a fumble. They go in and score interception on the next possession. I mean, you look up, it's 14-0. And they looked really, really good last night, though.
Yeah, well, now the Cowboys, by the way, that 4-3, but they're 3-0 in the division.
Yeah.
And they go to the New York Giants next week, who are coming off, well, finally Danny Dimes didn't look so great yesterday. If they win that one and go 4-0 in the division, they're going to have all the tiebreakers, possibly a two-game lead, because the Eagles have a tricky game at the Buffalo Bills, now 5-1 next week. That's going to be telling, I think, for both teams. So all of a sudden, the Cowboys, after 1 week ago, we were talking about, would Jason Garrett survive? Is he going to be fired? What's Jerry Jones going to do? Now we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys taking a stranglehold on the NFC
right.
East and looking really good if they can win next week at the midpoint of the season, really controlling everything in that division. That's the NFL. It's such a week-to-week business.
How about the freaking Cardinals with their third win in a row?
3-3-1, very quietly.
And this week, you should cancel all fantasy football appearances on the show and just interview me, Ben, from now on.
Did you start the running back, Edwards?
Sure did.
Wow.
Chase Edmonds.
I don't even know his name.
Sure did pick up Chase Edmonds in a pinch. I traded for Hunter Henry. I traded with the Hammer for Hunter Henry. And, it was fantastic. Hammer also threw in John Brown, who caught a touchdown for the Bills. Pretty good week for your old pal Wood. So I'll be doing all the fantasy football.
Please do. I'm going to lose to Tony Gwynn and going to fall to 1-6 this week.
Good God, Ben.
As long as Sonny Michel doesn't go negative 17
tonight.
All my top
players, my top picks are all hurt, starting with Devontae Adams on down.
Cry me a river.
Got nothing.
You've been complaining.
Since week one.
Since the draft.
Make moves.
I did make moves. They made my team worse.
Interesting.
I'll be 6-1.
I'm just glad I'm not winless. I'm still ahead of someone in the league. I'm not
Scraby. Scraby hasn't won
Scraby,
yet.
Braden, I don't know. I'm ahead of someone.
No one cares about
you're ahead of Scraby and Braden are both 0-6.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's it.
Ben's 1-5. Then we got a couple 3-3s, couple 4-2s.
I would like to not finish last. That's my new revised fantasy football goal.
Spoken like the Padre the fan that
I really,
you are.
I need some help from you this week, Ben. You're playing Tony Gwynn, who is also 5-1.
I need like
no one cares about this.
Le'Veon Bell
they're turning
like
the station.
Six touchdowns tonight. So
they are turning the channel. Please stay with us. I brought this up. I did this. This is my fault. I didn't know it was going to take on a life of its own like this. Stop. Enough. Period.
Fine.
You did this.
Well, I mean, there were other good fantasy football performances. Aaron Rodgers had his best performance of the season.
That's weird. I have him, too.
Yesterday. No, surprise, surprise.
On your fantasy team that nobody cares about?
On my fantasy team that no one cares about.
Even without Devontae Adams, 6 touchdowns,
he
5 passing, 1 rushing.
He was amazing yesterday.
With the Oakland Raiders, I'm sure the Raiders went in there feeling pretty good, 3-2, and knowing Patrick Mahomes is going to be out for a month. John Gruden had to say to his team, I mean, what an opportunity we have at Lambeau Field today. But when Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers like that, I don't think there's any stopping the Packers.
So fantastic. So fantastic yesterday. What else? What else from the NFL did I want to talk about today, Benny? Rams looked really good. Of course, you're playing the Falcons. The Falcons are one of the worst football teams I've ever seen. I know the Bengals and the Dolphins get a lot of grief, but the Bengals and Dolphins weren't supposed to win football games. The Falcons were. They have talented players. They lost again yesterday. That Niners-Redskins game was one of the most boring games I've ever seen in the NFL.
How about the Colts? How about Andrew Luck?
How about Jacoby Brissett?
Retiring for a team that clearly looks like it could be a Super Bowl contender with or without him. I mean, Jacoby Brissett is certainly picking up the slack, but
Hammer just mouthed, shut the F up, by the way. I could see, I read his lips. Hammer loves the Houston Texans. Has never been to Houston once, ever, right? Never.
Could you point it out on a map?
Yeah. Could you point out Houston on a map? No, he couldn't. That's amazing. Generally around Texas, where do you think Houston is? He's pointing west. No.
East. No. He's other way. Yeah, he's pointing. Yeah. He knows. I asked him once.
Okay.
He knows it's kind of in that eastern part.
It's got to be frustrating.
Near New Orleans.
It's got to be frustrating to have Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins on your team and to lose consistently. It's got to be tough.
They're four and three. It's fine.
But yeah, you want to win that game against the Colts.
How about the Baltimore Ravens going on the road to Seattle and a little Earl Thomas revenge? You had Marcus Peters, who only had a couple of days to prepare, come up with a pick six, a go-ahead pick six against Russell Wilson. Had Lamar Jackson outplay Russell Wilson, who was a lot of people's MVP choice through the first 6 weeks of the season. I mean, the Ravens, I don't know what got into them, but that was a performance of the season for Baltimore.
Lamar Jackson got into him.
Well,
that
Lamar
kid,
Jackson's good.
I saw tweets yesterday like, this guy's a cheat code right now. He looked unbelievable. So elusive.
Jadeveon Clowney for the Seahawks said after the game, he goes, I always wanted to go up against Michael Vick.
then you got your chance. Yeah, he's so fun to watch, man. So fun to watch. It was a pretty decent day in the NFL yesterday. Not too many stinkers out there. There were a couple, but I did see another interesting article this morning, Ben. Just when you thought we were out, they pull us back in. Jason LaConfora writes an article this morning. Interest in Antonio Brown is picking up around the NFL and a return after the trade deadline is possible. Isn't that the wild? Like, should we even be a little bit surprised that some team that just is maybe just on the cusp and feel like,
yeah,
man.
I mean, what team is, if you're out of it, there's no reason to add the Antonio Brown circus.
Correct.
If you're doing well, there's no reason to risk the Antonio Brown circus.
Who's your middle of the road?
Really, you got to find a team that is right there. Their season's about to go down the tubes, and they need some sort of shot in the arm, you know, a 100-to-1 shot that maybe Antonio Brown can provide.
I'll give you one.
I got one. Go ahead.
Chargers.
No, their Chargers are done.
You want to make a splash? You want to be relevant?
I think they're too far out of it. That just turns a disaster into a bigger disaster with the Chargers.
I'll tell you what may be a good fit for that guy. The Buffalo Bills.
I can see that. 5-1, they're probably saying, why would you risk everything we've done so far? But because no one really thinks you're a contender even at 5-1.
And what division do you play in? You play with the New England Patriots. Imagine that storyline.
Let him go back up against the Patriots in your second meeting?
100%.
Interesting.
That would be an interesting
one. At the very
least,
helps you lock up that wild card
also,
that you're already, you know,
they're kind
in
of,
good shape for.
They're kind of up in the, you know, kind of up in no man's land, kind of forgotten about. I mean, they're the best 5-1 team nobody talks about right now. Josh Allen looked really good yesterday.
Seahawks would be interesting.
Seahawks could be interesting as well.
Pete Carroll, I think, is up for that type of challenge.
I think so. I think if anybody could do it, he would be one of those guys. Carolina would be another one. Carolina, 4-2, second in the division behind the Saints. I don't think the Saints would add him. I just don't think he's a good fit there. Minnesota at 5-2. There's a few teams out there. Chicago, 3-3. But, him in Chicago was a waste because Mitch Trubisky just looks terrible. He looks like he should not be playing quarterback in the NFL. Oh, he looks horrible.
All right, we danced around every other game except for the one. The Los Angeles Chargers season going down the tubes. Should Phillip Rivers even come back next year? I want to get your thoughts on that. When we come back, we can talk a little college football, another good week for Rocky Long and his squad. That is coming up next year on Ben and Woods. Stick around. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. Finding new ways to lose. Since 1960, they are the Los Angeles Chargers. Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Talk some more football and San Diego State football as well. Good weekend for the Aztecs. That's all coming up right now. Let's get a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Oh, no, wait, hold on. That's not happening yet. I am way too early for that. That's like 10 minutes from now.
Next segment.
Kelly just walked in. Trainwreck Monday.
Yes, it is.
All right, then we just talk about football without doing traffic.
Well, it's just Trainwreck Monday. It fits when you're talking about the
Los Angeles
Chargers.
Well, we had such a good Friday. It was actually a very smooth Friday last week.
It was very smooth.
That we were bound to, I don't know what happened, Paul. You weren't here. It was
Paul got back.
No,
that's
train
what
wrecks
happened,
on
right?
Friday. Huh. And is now that, all of a sudden, that, train wreck the, Monday.
What's the common denominator here? Now, it's more entertaining, train wreck Friday.
So I'm,
yes.
I'm the reason for train wreck Friday.
Correct.
Okay.
Right?
I'm just saying.
I mean,
you know,
I don't toot my horn too often.
Small sample size, but.
You guys couldn't even turn on the mics when I was going.
That's true. That's true. The first day, my mic turned on and then turned right off. True, you're not wrong.
We were listening.
Yeah, yeah, it was terrible. Hello, what are we doing? My mic is.
Hello? I'm hearing myself. Hear what is this?
What?
Where is Paul?
It's terrible.
Paul's vomiting into a bag.
Yeah, that was our boss, Adam. He did it for one day and was like, "Well, that's good enough for me. I'm done."
Woodsy is a former San Diego Chargers fan.
Yes.
There were a lot of really bad losses.
Sure.
Like, people were tweeting yesterday, oh, this might be the most embarrassing, ugly loss ever. It wasn't. I mean, I could probably count at least a few others that I remember in my years that felt even worse at the time. Nothing beats the Marlon McCree playoff game against the New England Patriots when you're essentially going to the AFC Championship and all you have to do is fall down.
Yeah.
And you can't do that successfully. There was the Phillip Rivers Halloween fumble game when they were just trying to line up for a game-winning field goal in Kansas City. There was a Monday Night Football game, I think also against the Chiefs when I was in college, that like Junior Seau had there was a deflected interception to win the game. It was just sitting there like a two-year-old could have caught it. It was that easy and it bounced off of his hands. This was just kind of goes into the bag of amazing, unbelievable Chargers losses yesterday.
Hey, diddle diddle, Ray Rice up the middle. My
oh,
God,
that was
like,
a good one.
Jesus
yeah, fourth
God,
and 28 and converting.
Fourth and 29.
Fourth and 29.
He got 30 yards. 30.
On a little dump off.
On a dump. 30. And like, I wonder, like, you see stuff like that. You're like, you know what? Our buddy Jeff tweeted last night, why would anybody want these dopes back here? Nobody wants this in this town anymore. They are, like, and that's the team, too. I think the most frustrating thing about the Chargers is that, you know, again, a really sexy Super Bowl pick this season. You couldn't get a team that looks further from a Super Bowl contender other than the Bengals, the Falcons, and the Dolphins than the Chargers. That game yesterday was atrocious. That last minute of that game, I was racking my brain for anything I'd seen remotely close.
Well, you know,
they couldn't get it done.
And I thought Anthony Lynn, the head coach, deserved some credit last year for that 12-4 season, which I did not see coming. I think he takes some of the blame here. And after the game, he said, "I'm going to tell you all, I've never been in a ball game like that before. When you go from feeling like your guys fought their ass off, which they did, and won the ball game." Then they lose it the way we lost it. And then Hunter Henry says, on the field, we won it twice. We scored twice with 20 seconds left in the game. They called touchdown on the field. I looked at the sideline a few times like, that's the game. To have that happen toward the end is one of the craziest games I've been in. I do feel like the way it played out, the Chargers just couldn't mentally quite stay in it. That they had it, that the way it was kind of scoring and taking away, they kept feeling like it's over. And they couldn't quite get themselves back into that focus necessary to execute on the next play and
yep.
then the next play that they needed to execute on and get it done. The moral of the story is never believe the officials. It's never over until replay says it's over. I mean, you got to stay on your toes 60 minutes because in this day and age in the NFL, in crazy replays, they're liable to take anything away from you at any time. So you better be prepared for it. Chargers seemed a little unprepared for it yesterday, and it cost them. And now, I mean, the season is essentially over. 2-5, unless you think the Chiefs are going to go into an absolute tailspin with the Patrick Mahomes injury, there's really no chance the Chargers are, I mean, double-digit wins seems out of the question. They'd have to win 8 of their last 9 games to get to 10. There's no guarantee that 9 even gets you into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe tiebreaker somewhere. That's just 2 more losses the rest of the way. And they've got tons of tough games remaining. They got the Vikings. They got the Packers. They've got 2 against the Chiefs. I mean, there's just no way you can run the table without being healthy, without having players like Derwin James. So this season is lost. Phillip Rivers becomes a free agent at the end of the year. Why does he come back? Why does he want to come back?
To win a ring, and I don't know
with
that
the Chargers
that's, yeah, that's what I was just going to say, is I don't know that in his heart of hearts he feels that's his best chance to win a ring. I really don't. And I can't. And like you said earlier, if they franchise him, just retire. Let him go. Just let him, let the guy go right off in the sunset with, you know, somebody else. And give him a shot to go out and win that ring. I think he's definitely earned
put him
it.
Like on this Bears team that seems to have a lot of pieces other than a competent quarterback. Maybe he's got a better chance somewhere else than sticking around one more season in Los Angeles. I just don't know what's in it for him to extend his career with the Chargers at this point. You know, knowing him, he probably will sign one more deal, stick around, give it into that new stadium, be the good soldier he always has been for that team. But I think he's going to regret it at the end that he didn't at least give himself one shot somewhere else, a la Peyton Manning in Denver at the end, and give yourself an opportunity to win a ring elsewhere.
Yeah, yesterday's game, I was watching the last, I mean, really all you needed. I noticed, though, they did give up an onside kick recovered by Tennessee. It's things like that, right? I mean, it's just these things like that where I think longtime Charger fans go,
fake punt,
which was brilliantly executed. I had no idea it was coming, and they didn't either. Didn't even take into account that it could, and it did. And then they get to the one. I mean, the Titans did everything in their power to give that game away. They went for it on fourth down. They could have punted, made them go the length of the field. They didn't. They didn't get the 2 inches that they needed. Chargers get down to the 1 yard line. This is the tweet from Will Brinson. Got 10 free seconds from Mike Vrabel. Committed a false start. Drew a defensive pass interference. Got a touchdown. Had it reversed. Ran the ball again. Fumbled and lost. Melvin Gordon, of all people, can't get 1.5 yard at that point for the win. Brutal.
And
fumbles.
And everyone who pointed out that the Chargers probably win that game if Melvin Gordon is still holding out was absolutely correct.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
He's actually doing more harm than good on the roster right now. All right, I'll hold my thoughts on the Aztecs for the end of the show here because we're going to get to a little Houston talk. We're in one of the World Series tomorrow. Sean Pendergast, hosted 610 in Houston, is going to join us and set the stage for the World Series. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods right here on 97.3 The Fan. Final segment on a Monday, about to head out to Houston to talk a little Astros baseball, start of the World Series with Sean Pendergast. First, though, Woods, got to get a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danick. As Ben Woods, brought to you by Golf Mart, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Tomorrow night, I would say it doesn't get any better than the matchup between Max Scherzer and Garrett Cole, but you can argue game two could be just as nice.
Seriously.
With Justin Verlander and Steven Strasburg joining us here on 97.3 The Fan, host at Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Sean Pendergast with us here. Sean, it's great to have you on in San Diego. Thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, it's good to be on with you guys. We got a little San Diego weather here today, finally, so it feels good. I'm standing outside a Chick-fil-A eating an egg white grill, because if you have grilled chicken and an egg on an English muffin, it's much more nutritious than the fried chicken on a bagel with cheese.
Yes, it is.
I guess so. I guess you can make that argument. So you didn't get the same Dallas weather. The tornadoes and stuff missed you guys.
It did. We got a little rain this morning, but now it's really nice outside, and it's been a brutal, brutal summer here. So we're excited, and we've got baseball in October, so it's all good, man.
So were they – I mean, obviously the Astros thrilled to get back, but is this the opponent that they were hoping for? And, you know, it seems like a lot of teams were kind of, let's just avoid the Nationals if we can. That pitching staff and those top-of-the-rotation guys, not fun in any series, whether it's five games or seven.
Yeah, this is not the matchup that I wanted, and for those exact reasons. You know, the Nationals got off to a rough start this year, but since that 19-31 start, they basically played baseball – at about the same clip that the Astros have. And April and May don't matter right now. This is a really good baseball team. And it's kind of the opposite challenge that the Astros were facing in the previous series with the Yankees. Whereas, you know, with the Yankees, you're just struggling to get through 1-9 in their lineup each time around. And they've got a really deep bullpen, but the starting pitching is a little suspect. This is almost the exact opposite, where the Nationals, it's going to be an amazing series. I heard you guys talking about it before you brought me on. Just that, it's like a WrestleMania pitching. You know what I mean? Like, it's the matchups are incredible with Cole and Scherzer, and then Verlander and Strasburg, and even the third guy's in with. I mean, when you're talking about the undercard being Greinke and Corbin, and course, Anibal Sanchez could be a big X factor in this series because the Astros' starting rotation really sort of stops after those three guys. It's a really intriguing series, and for someone who does morning radio, I will welcome the games only lasting like 3 hours and 15 minutes. That'll be really cool.
No, I can relate, Sean. We're talking to Sean Pendergast, sports radio host at Sports Radio 610 in Houston, and you know, look, I'm a Yankee fan. That series to me was unbelievable. The agony and the ecstasy of baseball was on full display between those two teams. But as a baseball fan first, I'm actually happy that I get to relax and enjoy the series without feeling like I wanted to vomit or punch a hole in the wall or anything like that. But you know, if you had told me, hey, the Yankees and Astros are going to go to six, Alex Bregman's going to have one RBI, it's going to come in the last game, I say Yankees are going to win that, period. They win, because Alex Bregman is the straw that stirs that drink. But everybody else seemed to kind of step up and get the job done. Yordan Alvarez looked like he'd never played baseball before, ever. I mean, he really did. Like, hey, where did they find this guy? And this kid's a stud. And you know, if you had told me that going in, I'd say there's no way the Astros can win. But they always manage to find a way to get that big hit.
Yeah, it's a fun game to play, right? Where you go, okay, if I gave you this, this, and this before the series, would you sign up for this right now and just leave everything else to chance? And Yep. You're absolutely right. You know, Bregman, who may win the MVP for the American League, it's interesting because he only had one RBI. He got on base a little bit, though. Like, just his presence in the middle of the lineup does matter because he walks quite a bit. You know, he had some hard-hit balls. I felt like towards the end of that series, he was making good contact. He was just hitting it right at guys. You know, Bregman is still in the circle of trust. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt.
But you're right. Like, you know, the lineup itself, that was the thing that was scary as an Astros fan, is that the lineup had so many dead spots in it during that series that we just weren't used to seeing during the season. And obviously you're stepping up massively in weight class playing a 7-game series with the Yankees than playing a 4-game series with, you know, the Angels in July, that kind of thing. But, yeah, Yordan not hitting in that series was a big problem. Really, 7 through 9 in the order was a problem for the Astros. And that's the scary thing to me, guys, about this series is that, yeah, the Astros managed to somehow win that series in 6 games. But this is not a team that's hitting well and really not hitting well situationally right now. 3 big 3-run homers is what really helped them get over the hump, you know, with Yuli in game 6 and the 2 3-run homers in game 4, and then obviously Altuve with the 2-run homer to cinch it. They were really kind of an all-or-nothing operation there, especially for the last 3-4 games.
Sean, let me ask you about Astros fans, because I look here in California, Giants fans used to be pretty humble up there in San Francisco, then they got their 3 world titles, now they're just insufferable. I mean, we know about Patriots and Red Sox fans, how they've turned from, nothing franchises into the most arrogant fan bases in America. The Astros just a few years ago were the worst team in baseball. I mean, 100-plus losses every year, now trying to win a second World Series in 3 years. How are the fans adjusting? Because, honestly, we would love to see something like that happen in San Diego here sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. It's a weird dynamic from this standpoint. When you inject football into the operation here for a second, and the Texans, and Houston is a football town, Texas is a football state, and I would say of all the prevailing emotional trends with Astro fans, the diehard Astro fans, the ones that were there when they were losing 111 games in 2013, when their payroll was literally less than what Alex Rodriguez was making that year, the diehard fans, I don't know that there's necessarily an arrogance that permeates to fans outside of Houston. I think that, of anything, there's sort of this maybe like civil strife among Houston fans, where you have Astro fans that are now, you know, like it probably happens in any city, climbing back on the bandwagon, showing up for the playoff games, wearing all their orange gear, you know, touting the Astros. And there's that small, very vocal portion of baseball fans here in Houston who were the ones that were going to the ballpark in 2011 through 2013, kind of saying like, hey, man, we were here all along, that sort of thing. It's not something where, you know, there's fights outside the stadium between these factions or anything, but if there's any sort of intriguing emotional angle with Astro fans, it's sort of the hey, we've been here all along with the ones that are kind of climbing on the bandwagon. The Astros will truly arrive as a national entity when there are Astro fans that have never had anything to do with the city of Houston that are showing up in bars and taverns across the United States. I don't know that we're there quite yet.
So you're telling me that's what we have to look forward to here
Padres
in San Diego.
Twitter civil war.
It's going
coming.
To be.
Yes, coming.
It's going to be. Well, hold, you long for it, right?
It's like
going to
happen.
You yeah. hope. You hope that
the
it happens.
The bandwagoners versus the old school that is real fans right now.
It is. It is. Yeah. It is amazing. And I don't know how long you've been covering the team, Sean, but you know, just watching. I mean. I'm watching the series over the weekend. Who's the big righty? Josh James?
Josh James.
Yeah, they're like, well, so he was a nobody and threw 87, and then he realized he had sleep apnea, and he woke up and he threw 98. And I'm like, what?
Dude.
It's nuts.
Dude, look, as someone who suffered from sleep apnea until I found a sleep doctor that wanted to sponsor my morning radio show.
It's a good idea.
I can vouch for getting rid of sleep apnea. I don't know what my equivalent is of fastball, you know, 10 miles an hour on my fastball.
Right.
But whatever it is, I experienced it. So now it's the other stuff, the spin rate and all
yes.
the funky stuff.
It's maddening.
You run these, it's almost like a car wash, right? Like you bring these pitchers in and there are these downtrodden, mediocre, middle of the road pitchers. And you run them through the Jeff Luhnow analytics car wash, and they come out the other side, Ryan Presley.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's yeah,
Charlie Morton, so Ryan Presley. All, like, the list goes right. on and on. Will Harris. I mean, Will Harris
yeah.
looks like a grown-up baby. He looks like a grown-up yes. baby. And the guy, he does. He had to grow facial hair, so we didn't think he was 13 years old.
He looks
amazing.
He looks like a God, I just thought of this now that you said that. Like, his mustache and beard are terrible.
Terrible.
Right? Like, it's the worst facial hair ever. He looks like a vaudeville villain if you colorize the movie.
Yes, 100%. There was a baby mask I saw on a Halloween store. I'm like, you put an Astros hat on this, it looks like Will Harris.
Yes,
but they know that
yeah.
what they've been able to do. I mean, look, I think even here in San Diego, it's weird though because the Padres have never gone full tank, right? They signed Eric Hosmer and they signed Manny Machado, and it's, you know, the Astros really committed to the tank for those years, and
they did.
It's worked out. I mean, we're like some hybrid. We have some good players, but we still lose, you know, a ton of games here. The Astros are kind of that model, and when Padre fans say, hey, we want to be the Astros, well, I don't know that we did it the right way. I don't know that anybody could have fully committed to it like they did in Houston.
Well, here's the thing too, though, you got to get it right. Like, you know, there's like eight teams that are trying to do this right now. And baseball is a zero-sum game. You know what I mean? It's not like the corner I'm standing on right now in front of this Chick-fil-A where there's a fast food restaurant on each of the other four corners and you could plunk four more down another block from here and everybody's going to make their numbers. Baseball's a zero-sum game. Like, you can't have eight teams tanking and all of a sudden eight of them are whooping ass and making deep runs into the playoffs.
Right.
So the Astros tear it down to the studs. But they got the picks right. And even when they got stuff wrong, they got it right. And Brady Aiken was the first yep. overall pick. I think he's from out that way, actually, in Southern California. Yeah, and Brady Aiken was the number one overall pick. Well, the Astros started getting jerky with him over an elbow ligament, and they just decided to lowball him and not sign him. So in baseball, you get your pick back the next year, and they used it to get Alex Bregman.
It's
you know what I mean? Like, so, yeah. So even and I will say this, too, that it's one thing. You tear it down, and you're drafting really high. Jeff Luhnow is a master at making deals, and he has used those prospects. The three guys that we were talking about at the beginning of this conversation, guys, Cole, Verlander, and Greinke, they all were trades for prospects. And two of them were at the 11th hour and 59th minute when Verlander and Greinke came here. So it's not just a matter of, well, we got these high picks and we're going to draft a bunch of young players and they're all going to turn into something. That's part of it. But Luhnow is an ultimate deal maker. Their top three guys, all guys that he was able to get for prospects from teams that were, you know, basically downtrodden and salary dumping.
Well, and the other thing that the Padres haven't been able to do like the Astros have been, and you alluded to it, is knowing when to say when. I mean, we've got guys on this roster that were supposed to be the next big thing 4 years ago, and we're still running them out there right now, and it's just not happening. The Astros would have cut bait with these guys 2 years ago, and that's got to be hard. And I know that guy probably takes a lot of grief for the Brady Aiken miss, for letting Charlie Morton walk. I don't care. They find a way to get better, and that's you know, as a Yankee fan that, you know, quote unquote, grew up watching my team, you know, buy championships, as it were, to watch what teams like the Astros have been able to do, it's pretty remarkable. It's not just money. It's being able to get rid of some of that capital that you have when you need to go get a Garrett Cole. I mean, it was a steal. It's a steal. They stole from those guys.
Yeah. Well, that Garrett Cole will be the ultimate test, right? Like, you know, like you wonder. Yeah, I mean, the Astros aren't the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Red Sox when it comes to ultimately spending. At least we don't think they are. I mean, Jim Crane bought the team 6-7 years ago, and he's passed every test here along the way in terms of signing guys. Like, Altuve has a $30 million extension. They bought out Alex Bregman's arbitration years, so he's on a $100 million deal. You know, Verlander, they extended for $33 million a year. They made the trades for Verlander and Cole and Greinke. This Garrett Cole thing is going to be where we really find out what critical mass is for Jim Crane as the owner, because especially if Cole goes into the World Series and has two great starts against the Nationals, gets an MVP of the World Series kind of thing. I mean, the Garrett Cole market's going to go nuts.
You can't let him walk. You just can't let him walk.
I would agree with you, and I would hope that that's the case. And that's why I'm saying this may be where we find out what the breaking point is for Jim Crane, because there are other things that are going to need to get taken care of along the way. That either you just sacrifice those things and you put in some young guys and you bring Cole back, or maybe the price of poker gets too high. In the meantime, I'm going to enjoy these next 7 days.
And you're going to enjoy that chicken and an egg white in a second. Trust me, it's better cold, because I have one more question, just quickly. We talked to Astros. You mentioned Football Town. NBA starts this week. What's the James Harden, Russell Westbrook show going to look like for the Rockets?
That's a big question. You know, like, it's intriguing, I'll put it that way. I think I was probably in the minority among fans here where I said I didn't want them to trade for Westbrook. I was okay with running it back with Chris Paul for another year, just especially because of the injuries to Golden State. I think it just opens up so many things. And I am legitimately intrigued but concerned about how the whole dynamic is going to fit with James and with Russ. Now, that said, now that the trade is done, I'm really excited to see how it works. And it's fun sort of, you know, being at the epicenter of a lot of the chatter in the NBA. Not the Daryl Morey-related epicenter. That's a bad epicenter to be at right now. We're in the middle of that here, too. But as far as, like, the on-the-court stuff with Harden and Westbrook, I think, you know, the big thing here is Mike D'Antoni, guys. I think, you know, D'Antoni is a great X's and O's guy. I think he probably ends up finding a way to make it work in some fashion. And the fact that we're not dealing with a super team anymore in Golden State means that the Rockets are going to be one of six or seven teams that are in the mix for this thing. So let's go play ball.
Hey, Sean, that was a lot of fun. Really appreciate
great,
it. Thank you so much. That was fun.
Anytime, guys.
Sean
appreciate
Sean
Pendergast.
Yeah. So Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Now he gets to enjoy his cold egg white and chicken sandwich.
Well, you got to ruin baseball talk with basketball.
Well,
that's
it's season starts
to
tomorrow.
Oh, great.
It's an interesting. I mean, he mentioned Daryl Morey, the whole Chinese. Started right there. That I did not destroy yet. You're the dark cloud. I just want to talk a little basketball. God. Season starts this week. I know you don't think it starts until Christmas.
No, everybody thinks it doesn't
but it
start
does.
Until
we always,
Christmas.
We always offer, hey, if any of these guys who comes on our show ever needs us to talk a little San Diego sports.
It's weird. Nobody ever calls us. I told you I did a hit on a station in Buffalo when we signed Manny Machado. That was it. And I was so happy to do it. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's going to go tell his guys, yeah, I did a hit with these guys in San Diego. They're great. You know,
if you ever need them, what would we need them for?
Talk a little Aztecs or Padres. You know, they are there for us. It's like, why are we talking
Does Houston
Aztecs?
Have an AHL team?
No NLL team. I know that, unfortunately. Hmm. But, yeah.
Maybe we'll play Houston in a bowl game or something.
I did think the future Padres Twitter civil war that Sean predicted is going to be cataclysmic.
I mean, more cataclysmic than it's already
is. Well, I mean, just think how it already is
everything.
Now. Them throwing a bunch of bandwagoners who are trying to jump into the mix.
I think upsetting
the apple cart.
I think my message will be, hey, the more bandwagoners, the better. Because somebody said over the weekend to me, it wasn't an argument at all. We were just kind of conversing on Twitter. And they said, Woodsy, you know, look, as Padre fans, we're used to the opposing fans kind of invading our stadium. I said, well, yeah, it's because the team hasn't won. Once the team starts winning, You got to welcome all bandwagon fans because you want to get that stadium looking like it's an actual home field.
But what happens when the bandwagon fans come and say, oh, the fourth inning meetup's dumb or the score thread thing is stupid? You have to have the bandwagon fans have to at least jump on with the traditions.
Yeah, you do.
Fans.
You do. And that's part of being a bandwagon fan is, hey, I'm new to the party. I'd love to be here, but you're going to have to do it, you know, their way. That's for sure. But I do think, you know, the more the merrier as far as a playoff run here in San Diego. I mean, I'd love to lead the charge on that, Benny, and say, hey, let's not get one opposing fan in this stadium. I know that's not possible, but, you know, that should be the mentality. Like, let's make Petco Park a really terrifying place to play.
Well, maybe you'll get a call this week. Someone from Vegas wants to talk Aztecs football as they get ready to take on UNLV.
Well, then why would they call me?
Well, because you're a San Diego sports radio host.
I will then defer. I'll say you should call my partner, Ben Higgins.
Aztecs knocking on the door of the top 25. You know, they're 28th in both of the polls that were released yesterday. And by the way, in about 5 minutes, the first College Basketball Associated Press preseason poll comes out. Now, I do not expect to see San Diego State in the top 25. They might get some votes. After talking with Steve Fisher, though, on Friday, Paul, you weren't here, but you would have been excited with.
Like, I heard that
Coach Fisher is really high. He's really high on this team, though. I mean, he is very excited about this year's team. The transfers who are coming in, eligible to play, impact right away. Sounds like San Diego State basketball could be on the rebound here in Brian Dutcher's third season.
Yeah,
not that they've fallen too far off the map.
But they need it. They end up. They always play a better second half. You know, it'd be nice to see them get off to a really hot start instead of having to scratch and claw at the end.
So the first poll coming up now in a couple of minutes. That is it for us. We are done on a Monday.
Like that.
Flew by 4 hours quickly. We'll come back tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. for 4 more hours. Rest of the day today. We got Jim Rome Show coming up next. Coach John Quintero will be along at noon for his full 3 hours. Then you'll just get the brief taste of Gwynn and Chris, the short show, leading up to Monday Night Football coverage here on 97.3 The Fan. The New England Patriots visiting the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium. Patriots trying to stay undefeated. Great job, Hammer, assistant producer. Glad to have executive producer Paul Reindl back for Woodsy. I'm Ben. Talk to you tomorrow morning here on San Diego's number one sports station, The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.